Well, we've got our second lot of world champions for the week to celebrate today. On Monday, it was our Masters race walkers. Today, we blow the vuvuzela for our national kneeboarding side, who absolutely cleaned up at the recent World Championships in Costa Nova, Portugal. South Africa was competing against France, Australia, New Zealand and the USA. And we ended up top of the pile in the overall team competition. Capetonian Tom Gray took the men's overall world champion title. Tony and Linda Ash won the women's event. Larry Berger took third in the veterans class. And then Gig Siliers won the kahunas division. And no, I don't know what that means. So we're going to ask him to explain to us in just a moment. He is joining us from Portugal via Zoom to celebrate the team's success and talk a little bit more about the sport of kneeboarding. Giggs is a multiple kneeboarding world champion himself, the former chair of Kneeboarding South Africa. And it's great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much. That's probably the best intro I've ever had. So thanks for that one.
My pleasure. But please put us out of our misery and tell us what the kahunas is all about.
So I think in most sports, they categorize it into age categories. Yep. And the kahunas is mid-50s and to 60. So okay. I'm not going to say I'm that old. I'm just going to talk loosely about it. But so in other words, Larry Berger's veterans division was 50 to 54. And then it goes to the Grand Masters, which is mid-40s to 50. And we got another gold medal with that with a surfer by the name of Lester Sweetman. So he got a gold in the Grand Masters. You mentioned Tom Gray as the overall men's champion, which is a huge story, and we'll go back to that. Mm-hmm. But Tom also won the Masters, which is 40 to 44. So basically what happened is the South African kneeboarders, look, we're a crew of guys. We surf on our knees. You know, if you think of athletics, you think of the Olympics, you know, the glory goes to the 100 and 200 meter sprinters. But hey, you know what? There's a lot of stuff going on in the stadium. You know, there's the shot putters and there's the high jumpers and there's the pole vaulters and that. So within the sort of sport of surfing, you know, shortboard surfing gets the glory, but there's many other disciplines and styles of riding waves. And I mean, you think of longboarding, and for us, you know, we're an art form that has kind of not seen a lot of growth. But if you think back to the history of surfing itself, kneeboard surfing is basically responsible for why the longboards became shortboards if you track it all the way back to the mid to late 60s.
Really?
So So I can give you that whole discussion. A lot of people don't know this stuff, but there was a quite an eccentric character by the name of George Greeno. And if you want to Google him, folks, and basically he thought right outside the box and he went, well, if a board is shorter, it has a tighter turning radius. And that was a true story. So if you think of post-World War II, all the big boards that were being used, especially Hollywood plugged into a lot of that surfing story. And that Malibu comes from, you know, because Malibu is in Southern California. It's very close to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Probably the break that is closest to Hollywood itself. So the word Malibu is for boards that are 9 feet and over, essentially. A mini Mal, by the way, a mini Malibu is when they started cutting the boards down, and that's another story.
Okay.
But basically, the longboard surfers noticed how quick and tight the radius of turns were for the kneeboarders, and how the kneeboarders, and this is now late 60s into the early 70s, they were getting in the hollow tube section of the wave and they were basically out surfing the stand-up surfers. And so everybody basically got out a saw and cut their longboards down, and there was a massive transition through the early 70s. And then, well, before you knew it, shortboarding had found its way, and then professional surfing came around mid 70s. And so that's where kneeboarding fits into it. But there's still this crew of guys, we're quite a few thousand strong around the world, that have remained quite purist in the pursuit. And we love riding hollow waves, and there's this incredible bond between kneeboarders of the world. And so we get together every second year for a world titles, and we've celebrated that for a number of decades already. And this year it was, as you mentioned, in Costa Nova, Portugal. So I'm talking to you from the beach at Costa Nova. Now, that is awesome. The northern part of Portugal. We're just a touch south, maybe a half an hour drive south of Porto. A lot of people will know Porto for its famous wine production and the port itself. And, as I say, we're on that stretch of beaches. Look, the Portuguese coastline has got a lot going for it. It's about 700 kilometers of coastline running basically straight north-south if you look at it geographically. And it gets a ton of swell. So the surf is excellent in Portugal. And, certainly we were blessed with a lot of, in fact, very strong waves at times. So I think that the kneeboarders basically that based out of Cape Town.
Yeah.
We get very strong and similar surf in the Cape Peninsula as well. So, yeah, guys like Tom Gray and Linny Ash, both from Komiki area in Cape Town, that, you know, everybody reveled in the conditions. So, yeah, so South Africa can be very proud of what just unfolded.
I mean, are kneeboarders doing everything that stand-up surfers are doing? I mean, you say Portugal and surfing, everybody thinks of the massive waves at Nazaré and the like. Are you guys tackling exactly the same kind of conditions, or are there limits to what you can do on a kneeboard?
No, well, yes, there's limits to it. I mean, you're in the kneeling position, so you don't have perhaps the suspension system of standing. In fact, if I tell you, if I get in the car now and I drive south 1 hour, I'll be in Nazaré, which is home of some of the biggest waves in the world. To your question, then I think the kneeboard thing really, really finds a nice little home in hollow waves. You think of waves like Cork Bay, in Cape Town, you think of Noordhoek and that stretch there. The hollower the waves, generally, the happier the kneeboarders are. So that's kind of where we fit into it.
So this is where I go, look, I'm on a 9 foot long board, and I'm of an age where the knees are complaining about the popping up, and I'm starting to think, should I be staying on my knees and switching to kneeboarding instead as a future?
We've been waiting for you, you see? Well, look, I mean, you know, if you think about it, the mechanical body action of getting to your knees is a lot easier than getting to your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. But then from there, it is a lot more difficult to sort of drive, steer, maneuver dynamically the board out of your waistline, so to speak. So, yeah, listen, it's a broad topic. There's lovers, there's haters of it, and like anything, you know, it's a thing. But certainly, back to your individual request, waiting for you, no problem with that at all.
Do I have to?
And funny enough, you mentioned the kahunas, and I was embarrassedly saying it was the second half of the 50s as an age category. Listen, we've got things like immortals going on. We had some guys that were 69 years of age and surfing incredibly proficiently and athletically in challenging surf. So maybe there is something to the kneeboarders outlasting the surfers in the long run.
Okay, I'm going to have to come out and give it a try. Giggs, do I need special equipment, or do you surf on a regular shaped surfboard?
So just to describe it to you, if you took a regular surfboard and you put it in a circus mirror and it got a little bit wide and fat, that's kind of like what a kneeboard looks like. Generally, boards are between 5'8" and 6 foot. That's just around, you know, probably 1.6 to 1.9 meters long. They're shorter, they're wider, and they have a slightly different curve in the what we call the rocker, which is the curve from the tail to the nose of the board. And also the fin positioning itself is a little different. The fins are slightly higher up. So look, you could kneel on anything, right? You can kneel on an ironing board, you can kneel on a body board and such. But yeah, our boards are very specifically designed. And as I say, South Africa is faring very well in the design forum discussion as well.
Amazing. I just had a tweet from Ryan who tells me he remembers judging Giggs at the World Championships at Cave Rock back in the 1990s when you went head to head against a Brazilian. So you've been doing this a while. I mean, how did you actually get into the sport in the first place?
Thanks, Ryan, for that memory. Yes. So I mentioned that we do this every second year. And listen, you figured out my age, right? Because I'm the kahuna. But I made a choice at 14 years of age on the beaches of Durban. Don't ask me why. It was a pretty counterculture decision at the time, but it just felt like the right way for me to go surfing. And I just stayed true to it. And then, well, before I knew it, I was a Springbok and a national champion, early into my teenage years. And I've just, it's been my little space. I've really enjoyed it. And there's been a whole band of merry travelers that we've all been doing this for ages. So it was an easy choice for me, just it was natural. I felt it was a pure heart decision and continue to do that. So yeah, so I competed all the way through the 80s. I don't want to make the story about myself, but I can tell you those years of apartheid where we were excluded and the question mark hung on, you know, how well could we do in world competition? And we couldn't answer the question. We'd been to a few events in California in the early 80s. We'd flogged the guy that was second in the world at the time. So the question, I had to wait 7 years for our reintroduction into the global arena. Yeah. And I remember very specifically, and I'll keep it short, but in 1992, the Springbok surfing team, well, the South African surfing team, was reinvited after a 14-year hiatus from competition. We were completely excluded. And, guys like Robin de Kock, who head up South African surfing, he got us back into the world arena. It was obviously off the back of Nelson Mandela coming out of prison in 1990. Yeah. So everything shifted in the early 90s. And so basically after 14 years, we were allowed back. And I got a world title win in France in 1992. So that was a huge thing for me, but I'd waited a long time for it. So just to put it all in context, it's been an amazing journey, and man, it's still going. So what a blessing.
Giggs, it's awesome talking to you. Before we let you go, a listener has sent a voice note in talking about the kneeboarding in Portugal. Let's take a quick listen.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Just a big shout out to all those surfers and kneeboarders out in Portugal, and especially Linda Ash. And it comes from Rodney and all the ex-PTIs in the Navy. She must have a blast and travel home safe.
Thanks, Rodney. I think she's home already. I saw some visuals of her being greeted on her arrival back in Kormiki with flags and flowers and no small number of tears, which was fantastic.
Her homecoming was an amazing story. And the town of Kormiki, and I just want to shout out to all the 783ers out there. I mean, they lined the streets. Oh. I remember just looking at, like I said, it was absolutely chicken skin for Linny Ash. So, yeah, and as I say, her background is the fitness from the Navy. So it's just a huge celebration for the South Peninsula there.
One last thing before we let you go, Giggs, and that's the news that there is, of course, another World Championship coming in 2 years' time in 2024. Am I understanding correctly that it's going to be here in South Africa?
So there's a bid that we put in, and yes, the good news is that the world wants to get the World Kneeboarding Champs in South Africa. We haven't locked the dates or exact venue yet, but when you think of all the potential of surf we have, our administrative strength and background and everything else, it seems like a very popular choice. So, and I think we would get even bigger attendance for a 2024 event in South Africa. So, you know, maybe we'll talk to you again in 2 years' time and we'll give you another positive wrap-up.
That sounds like a brilliant idea. It's been great having you on the show today, Giggs. Please pass on our congratulations to all of the team members who are still with you there in Portugal, and to Linda, who's already back home. Well done to Tom Gray, the men's champion, and everybody else who claimed their medals to take Team South Africa to the overall team competition win as well in the World Kneeboarding Championships in Portugal. You've been listening to former world champ and Kahuna's division winner, Giggs Cilliers. Great to have you on the show today.